Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Father Joseph Mary. Today we'll be talking about bringing the gospel to the world, specifically what some of our EWTN employees throughout the world are doing with the help of God's grace to spread the gospel, how the network is changing lives. Chris Wegemer has been the Vice President of Marketing since 1992. George Wincar has been EWTN's Regional Manager for Africa for the past 13 years and has traveled extensively across the continent of Africa. E.O. Bender is a Regional Manager for Eastern and Central Europe. Now, Chris, you joined the network in 1990, and it was 1992. Mother Angelica made you the Vice President of Marketing, helping the network to spread throughout the United States at that time and now throughout the world. And then in 1996, you had an important meeting with Pope John Paul II and Mother Angelica. Tell us about that meeting.
Well, I'll never forget that meeting. It was on May 1st, 1996, and I had the honor of accompanying Mother Angelica with one of her sisters to a private Mass with the Holy Father, and then we were taken into an adjacent room after Mass in a line as he came around the room. And when he came to talk with us, I'm very happy that my job was very simple. Senior management had prepared a presentation, and my job was simply to hold the book and flip through it as Mother talked to the Holy Father. And she was like a young daughter, excited to share some wonderful news with her father. And so she talked about our expansion and our launch in South America. And she said, and then we're going to go to Europe. And we flipped to the map of Europe. And then we're going to go to Asia, to Russia and China. And at this point, the Holy Father had caught on and he said, and then? But as he went through after every page, his eyes got wider and his smile got bigger and bigger. And then we talked about our launch in Africa that we were looking forward to. So it was a wonderful meeting, and I was blessed to be able to witness these two saintly people exchange our plans to grow.
And the end of the story I love as well. So he was leaving, right? And then he actually turned around and came back to Mother Angelica. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yes. No, it was amazing. I think when he came to greet her, he talked about how she was a charismatic woman. Mm-hmm. And she was just so humbled by his kind words. Then as she turned back and he talked about how she was weak in body, but strong in spirit, it was a wonderful affirmation.
And I remember she told me that after he gave her his blessing at that point, she felt like she could conquer the world,
Yes.
And really that's what the network is doing. And one of the reasons I want to begin with that story, because that was really the beginning of the international expansion, which is why we have George and Ewa on today, because we're now an international organization. So George, talk about your own work with EWTN in Africa. What are you doing? What have you seen as far as growth there in Africa?
Thank you, Father. My work involves going country to country, increasing and growing awareness about EWTN in the grassroots, amongst the clergy, and even institutionally with the bishops' conferences. So this has taken a lot of mileage and a lot of hours of travel and been to places I never, ever dreamt I would ever go to in my life, even as an African. So my work has basically been bringing to fruition the dream of Mother Angelica, that one day EWTN will be strongly present in Africa. And I can tell you, Africa is one of EWTN's strongholds today, and it can only get better.
Yes, because we see, right, a flourishing of the faith there. It's really a great opportunity to bring the gospel even more fruitfully, please God, there in the African continent. Maybe talk about that, the growth of the faith there in Africa.
Well, Africa has a number of well-known characteristics. Churches are full, vocations are plenty. We have several ordinations in several dioceses every year. Africa is able to give out missionaries to other countries that are in need. But the truth is, Africa also needs to grow within. Africa needs to develop and strengthen areas that were strong before in the countries that are weak today. I had an interesting interview last 2 weeks ago with Cardinal Sarahazana in Madagascar. And he told me Europe used to be like Africa many years ago. So one of the things we're trying to do as EWTN Africa is to reach out to key groups like young people who are the future of the church of tomorrow. Reach out to priests in formation and people in religious houses to work with them to grow awareness of what they are doing and how other young people could participate in the life of the church through their various organizations or religious orders. But we are also working with bishops because they are the administrators of the church. And we are working with bishops basically because we need their help to be able to enter dioceses, to be able to work with national bishops' conferences, and to be able to work with other regional ecclesial organizations, for example, that bring bishops' conferences together regionally.
Now, Io, you are working as the regional manager for Eastern and Central Europe. Talk about some of the territory that you're covering to help EWTN to grow in those areas.
Okay, so it's quite vast, actually, because it starts in Norway, in Scandinavia, Sweden, Denmark. Then if we follow clockwise, it's Ukraine, it's Romania, it's Poland, Hungary, then we have some new places in which we are building our new EWTN stations or new EWTN presence. That would be Latvia, one of the Baltic states, and on the other side of the continent, Albania, where we are working on establishing an EWTN station. Of course, I cannot forget the Netherlands. And also we are now working on establishing a presence in Turkey and in Cyprus.
You are traveling a good bit then, aren't you?
The number of Catholic stations that are not part of the EWTN family, and that would be the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Croatia, and Slovenia. So it's quite a lot.
Yes, and you brought a number of bishops here to visit the network, including the Archbishop of Latvia, and he was excited about beginning transmissions there. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, Latvia is a rather small country. It's probably less than 2 million people right now. It's in the sort of between, you could say, Belarus and Finland, so to speak. It's in the north or rather eastern part of the Baltic Sea, and its church has a very long tradition. And the Archbishop of Riga, the capital of Latvia, Zbigniew Stankiewicz, is a very important, I would say, religious leader in this country. And I'd like to stress that he is a Catholic archbishop. Catholics by no means are the largest or the only denomination in Latvia. There are also Protestants. There are probably more Protestants than Catholics. And then there are also the Orthodox. And he, in a sense, speaks for all the people of faith in that country. Truly a monumental figure. He was involved in the anti-communist opposition during the Soviet Union, because Latvia was a part of the Soviet Union. And he also, you could call him one of those people with so-called late vocations. So he was an educated scientist before he entered seminary. Truly a monumental figure, with also a great sense of humor and yes. Great humility and an amazing life story. I'm so happy that he is interested, and he actually is already helping to establish EWTN in Latvia.
We can see how the Lord is continuing to open new doors for new opportunities to bring the gospel to others. Chris, you've been here since 1990, and Mother appointed you as the Vice President of Marketing in 92. Maybe you could talk about what was it like then in 1992 as far as our outreach, and what's it like today?
Certainly. Well, yes, you're right. I joined in 1990, and I remember we closed 1989 with about 13 million homes, which are almost exclusively in the U.S. We didn't have any international feeds at that point. And it was pretty spotty across the United States as far as where people could receive us. So thanks be to God, the door was opened to us by the Holy Spirit to reach all the major providers in North America. And today we're in 437 million television homes in 160 countries and territories. Hmm. And about three quarters of those homes are outside of the U.S. So we really transitioned dramatically from being basically a U.S. network to now being truly a global network in multiple languages in so many countries. So it really has been an incredible transformation to witness.
Now, how has this affected your own faith to see this growth and how the Lord has used you to help open doors and those that you work with opening doors? That's had to impact your own faith.
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, I think Mother Angelica was such a wonderful example of belief in divine providence. And divine providence isn't just about providing the material resources, but also leading different people to the network. I've been here for 34 years now, but seeing wonderful men and women like Ivo and George be called forth to help at just the right moment in time when we needed someone to help us expand into different parts of the world, the Lord led us to just the right people. So it's just really been gratifying to see the hand of divine providence at work and just to see how the Holy Spirit has used so many different people around the world to help our apostolate, the apostolate which our Lord gave to Mother.
Now, George, you sent us some videos of different interviews and things that you did in Madagascar. I've seen some of the small clips that you, but talk about that recent trip and how, again, here's a new door that seems to be opening also for EWTN, hopefully.
Thank you, Father. The trip to Madagascar was a big eye-opener for me. I mean, I've traveled basically across the whole of Africa and been a number of times to some countries. But Madagascar was different from each one of them. Madagascar is nestled in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and the main language spoken there is Malagasy. But they are a very, very united church. You could see the whole church come together for the Eucharistic Congress. And if anybody remembers anything from Madagascar, it might be the level of poverty which you see around Madagascar. But it is quite interesting to me that even in the midst of such material want, people had such astonishing faith in the Lord and could show it as they came out to celebrate as a whole church their Eucharistic Congress. And people came from all over Madagascar, traveling several days on the road to be there. And this Eucharistic Congress was held in a stadium. And people were sitting on the grounds of the stadium. There were no chairs. There were a few people sitting on the grandstand, but most of the talks at the Eucharistic Congress, people were sitting on the ground, people were sitting on the floor. And it was such a, it was like a family coming together to tell each other stories about someone special. And this someone special happened to be the Eucharistic Jesus.
Beautiful. So it sounds like so many places were having these Eucharistic Congresses. And I really believe, you know, that the Lord is up to something, if you will, in a particular way, just manifesting the reality of His presence being with us all days until the end of the world, and particularly in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Now, Ivo, tell us about how you see EWTN as helpful in bringing the gospel to Eastern and Central Europe where you are working. Why is EWTN an important element of making that fruitful?
Well, it is new evangelization. This is something that John Paul II called for so many times. So it's using, you know, the most modern technology of communications to bring the same message, the eternal word, to people. You know, the church has always been adopting the modern of the time to spread the gospel, and so there is this fundamental thing of telling the people the good news about the eternal word, but there's also other dimensions. You know, for instance, I mentioned that we are present, we have been present for more than a dozen years in Kiev, in Ukraine. And so this is an extreme case of helping people with very real problems,
yes,
as real as they get. For instance, EWTN Ukraine had a show in which they were advising people, parents, how to talk to their children about what's going on, right? How to help them overcome the fear that comes from the fact that they are, in fact, being, you know, bombed, shelled, you know. So from the most important, you know, questions of what's transcendent, from bringing God to people to the most, you know, basic human yes. needs, that is something that to some extent we're trying to do.
Yes, Michael Warsaw has often brought up those of our brothers and sisters who work for the network who are really in danger. Those in our Ukraine office, we can think of those in Iraq and some in Africa, and just the reality of the situation that they face, which is quite different for most of us. So we're grateful, and indeed, viewers, please do keep our co-workers in these dangerous places in your prayers, that the Lord will continue to preserve and protect them and help the network continue to provide the hope of the gospel. Now, Chris, we've talked about the growth from 92 to the present day. What are some of the hopes for the future? Do you have plans for the future as far as other areas we need to reach yet that are maybe not being reached?
Well, let me first of all say I think that there are places that you wouldn't expect that, you know, using logic or normal market research that we would be received in. You know, I think of countries like India, where we are available to 37 million homes, or to the Chinese territory of Macau, or Indonesia, which is predominantly Muslim. So, you know, the Lord in His grace and with His own sense of humor opens up doors to us that we really wouldn't expect. But I think looking forward more dramatically in the future with the evolution of digital media and EWTN's own evolution to try to serve these new opportunities with the new technologies that are developing, I'm really excited about these new platforms where 20 years ago, we didn't even think about these things. So long after I'm gone, we have wonderful younger colleagues who'll be able to take EWTN to places that we never thought of in ways that we never imagined not too long ago.
George, I know that in your 13 years with the network, you must have seen some transformation in lives and things that have made a difference, you know, through receiving the gospel, coming across EWTN, perhaps. Do you have any stories you'd like to share?
I have lots, but I'll just stick to one or two. I actually, one of our helpers in Uganda sent us a very touching video of someone who became Catholic, was very happy to become Catholic, but didn't know how to go about learning the prayers. So they turned to EWTN to learn how to pray the rosary. We had another story of a guy who, from watching EWTN as a Muslim, he became Catholic. And he considers his Catholic faith to be his most cherished possession and regrets he had not joined the church earlier. So we hear all the stories that change lives, that touch people's lives. And Father, I would just say, this is the biggest value we take out of serving at EWTN.
Amen.
That as unworthy as we are, the Lord can use us to bring about change that we can never by ourselves or on our own be able to achieve. And I think credit for this goes to all our our brothers and sisters, our colleagues in Birmingham and around the world, who work together with all of us to make sure that we look our best and that we give our best wherever we go.
And I think this is a wonderful opportunity too, maybe just to mention the media missionaries. So all of our viewers, our audience, those of you who are watching this program, you can help. You can be a co-worker in this mission by making our work better known and helping to support it in whatever ways you can, certainly through your prayers. But, you know, when I ever go through the airport, I always carry with me a program guide. And so I will often be asked, because I'm wearing the habit, you know, well, what's your story? And I tell them about Mother Angelica, and I hand them a program guide. And I can't tell you how many times I have done that. Well, I have this short encounter with people, but the network is there 24 hours a day. And I remember, Iwo, that there was a lady who was traveling to Poland, and she wanted to know, you know, is there some materials that I could give to the Polish people there? And it was suggested back to me, well, we're on streaming, you know, so you can actually watch our Polish EWTN Polska, that you can watch it on our streaming service. So maybe talk about some of the way, maybe a story that you have, Iwo, but also some of the ways that people can receive the network.
Well, it's the Polish version of EWTN can be watched on YouTube, quite simply. Although we did have a couple of times when whoever makes the decisions there, stopped the feed, including the I think the most interesting contribution of EWTN Poland to Catholic television, which actually EWTN Poland started with, and which people at the beginning were thinking was absolutely preposterous and made no sense, and yet turns out that it does make tremendous sense. What I mean is the 24/7 feed of perpetual adoration from the town of Niepokalanów, yes. the monastery that was founded by Saint Maximilian Kolbe. So you can you'd think, you know, why would that make sense? Turns out that some 20,000 people from all around the world, just on YouTube, watch every day. Mm. Watch.
Wow.
Or adore, or mm-hmm. basically it's a virtual adoration chapel. So plus several TV stations, Catholic TV stations around the world, have picked up that feed. So so I would recommend that you visit the EWTN Poland YouTube page and see the this phenomenon. It's this virtual adoration chapel, and interestingly, you know, recently we made a documentary with EWTN Sweden about a very similar concept from the Middle Ages. On the island of Gotland in the Baltic, there are many medieval churches, and many of them have what's called a hagioscope. So when the church was closed, you could walk up to the church, walk into a small room that was open, and there was a window that was perfectly positioned to the tabernacle where the Holy Sacrament was. So in a sense, you could, if you could not enter the church physically, you could watch the Holy Sacrament from afar. And in a sense, we're doing the same, you know, a thousand years later using modern technology.
I love that. That's beautiful. I'm going to use that in a homily someday. So thank you for telling us that story. Chris, we're coming toward the end of our program, but do you have any closing thoughts or anything you'd like to say to our audience regarding the outreach of EWTN?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned over the years is that, you know, we've been so blessed here in the United States that we have access to the sacraments and Catholic schools and catechists, that there are so many of our brothers and sisters around the world who don't. Who may not see a priest for 5, 6 months, or even a year. And so EWTN has played such an important role in terms of sustaining the faith, helping them to evangelize and catechize their own children by being able to come directly into the homes in a way mm-hmm. that the institutional church just simply hasn't been able to because of not having as many priests or catechists in their location. So it really has provided an incredible service to the Church Universal.
George, you have any closing thoughts?
Oh, yes, Father, thank you. When I grew up, five out of every six priests was from a missionary organization, Mill Hill Fathers, Holy Ghost Fathers, and so on. And our faith today was implanted by these. And today, we are sending out missionaries to Europe and to America and to all these places. And I consider the work of EWTN as a continuation of the missionary work that Mother Angelica wished for the world, that we would continue to bring the eternal word to ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth is parts of Africa, parts of Asia, and parts of this. And even if sometimes you go to a difficult place or you see conditions of life that weigh you down, you remember that this was dreamed of and thought of and prayed for by Mother Angelica, and that you can't stop. You got to keep going forward.
Amen. Amen. Ivo, any closing thoughts?
Well, I could not agree more with George. So yes, if I just may ask our viewers to pray for the spread of EWTN. It is the global Catholic networks, but there are still some countries in which we are not available. So please help us in this way.
And thank you three for being on the program today. I really enjoy bringing Mike Warsaw on in our previous episode and having our viewers get to meet some of the people behind the scenes that are helping Network to be successful and to reach even more and more souls. So thank you three for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
And thank you for joining us today. We will see you next week on the Catholic Sphere with host Debbie Cowden. And I'd like to conclude with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit bless you.